Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, and welcome to today's Caffeine for the Soul. This is the final part of my five-part conversation with Robert Holden, and today we explore the still point in the action field, the relationship between productivity and busyness. I think you're going to like this one.
I think an important part of life-work balance is seeing the difference between productivity and busyness. And for me, productivity is when you're doing what needs to be done. Busyness is when you're doing stuff because you're used to doing stuff, I think. And for me, when I can just get the busyness out, when I sit down to my computer and realize I don't need to check Facebook again, I don't need to check my email again. Actually, there is literally nothing I need to do, and then I can actually not do anything. That is when I've come back home to the place where balance isn't the relevant metaphor. Yeah. Because everything is contained within that space.
Yeah, I'm just letting that sink in. I think it's because in a way, what you just said there would be, in many ways, makes me think, if we're thinking about like a life-work balance, it's almost like, what are we hoping that a life-work balance will get us? You know, like it's a currency. That's so often how the ego tends to think of things. It's not a goal in itself. It's going to get us something. What's it going to get us? And yeah, listening to you speak like that, it is something for me about a return to ourselves and a return to this sense of, Joseph Campbell talked about the action field. He said, if you can't find the still point, you'll get lost in the action field.
I love that.
It's actually something he spoke about in that fabulous series with Bill Moyers and
the power of myth.
Yeah, the power of myth. It's not an exact quote, but it's, you know, that is the meaning of the quote, is we get lost in the action field if we can't be with ourselves. And
Yeah, and thematically, that does kind of give us a simple place to look, because I think all the things we've discussed are parts of the equation, part of life-work balance within that metaphor. But actually, to be able to find and rest in the still point and then throw yourself deliberately into the action field, knowing
that
you'll always come home to the still point, to me, to be the essence of life work balance.
That feels nice. In an effort to simplify things even more, I've got another equation for you just for fun, which is a soul ego balance.
All right, I got my pen. Go ahead.
Yeah. So the soul ego balance is, for me, is like, when am I doing things for the joy of it? Which does feel like that's just soulful. And then when am I doing things because it's necessary, it's strategic, it's what I should be doing, it's, you know, more like a career focus. One isn't good and one isn't bad. It's just they give me a bit of a different feeling. When it's soul, and it gets too much soul, it's almost too lovely to handle. But when it's sort of a bit more ego, and I'm just doing things because I feel I should, or because I've bounced out of my being into the action field, that's when I'm then starting to feel a bit clenched in my body. That's when I'm trying to get through the day rather than enjoy the day. That's why I'm trying to get to the end of something. So sometimes what helps me, I suppose, with my balance, and it's why I have a spiritual practice, is to is to remember that my ego, my name, my website, my Facebook page won't last forever. And it's pretty important that I tap into this experience that I allow myself to have every now and then, which is when I can experience something that does feel untouched by all of this. And that sense of a very clear mind, which you describe, I think, so well in The Space Within, you know, the white page on which all of the words rest, that consciousness is remarkably sane, remarkably present, wonderfully abundant, loving, true, constant, and always available to us. And connecting to that gives me a feeling of a soul-ego balance where I have to participate in the world. There are such things as bank accounts, and there is such a thing as a 24-hour clock. And there are different calendars for lots of us, which is quite weird, but nevertheless, most of us have a calendar we follow. And so I've got to take care of all of that, and it's right that I do. Mm-hmm. And actually, one way to take care of all of that even more is to have this soul time. And that soul time probably really is what I'm really talking about here, is a self time again. But by giving myself that time, then my life and work can express itself in a way where there is a harmony. Maybe that's what it is, rather than a balance. You know, there's a harmony to it all. And that they're certainly not in opposition to each other.
Well, and what that evokes for me is, and I don't know if there's such a thing as an aural prism, something that takes one note and divides it into many, like there is with light, where you can have one light that divides into many colors. But that's sort of the image that came to mind, is that there's this one energy expressing through us in many, many, many different forms. And it's our ability to go back to the oneness, that the forms are, they're all there anyways. They're all expressions of the same one light. They're all expressions of the same one note, one sound. And then it is intrinsically harmonious. Because it's all of one whole.
Yeah. Yeah, I love that. I absolutely love that. I was talking to somebody yesterday who was going through some angst about, she was saying, I'm trying to find a way to express my spirituality and my truth, you know? Mm-hmm. And I was just saying, well, that's a lot of pressure you're putting yourself under. What if you just let truth express itself through you? Like, take the pressure off. You don't have to do it your way. Let truth do it truth's way. And you are inevitably a filter anyway, so it's going to filter through you in a beautifully unique way, whether you're trying to be unique or not. Do you know what I mean? It'll be okay. Because the oneness is the oneness, so you don't have to dress it up and make it unique. The oneness is the oneness, and it will express itself through the filter of you in a way that will automatically be unique. So don't worry, it's all right. You know, it's going to happen. It's going to happen. And maybe therefore as well, you could say that maybe it isn't up to us to necessarily construct a balance. Maybe we could trust that actually but there is an intelligence that knows how to balance us out. And if we just paid attention to that intelligence, it would balance us out for us, rather than us think we have to make balance happen.
Which takes me back to my favorite notion, which is the kindness of the design.
Oh, I love it when you say that. Yeah, that's That's something I often quote by you, the kindness of the design. There is a kindness in the design. Yeah, I think there is. I do think that that intelligence, whatever it is, somehow understands what we're up against and takes that into account somehow. And maybe it isn't an almighty mistake that we're alive. You know, like how some of the big Western philosophers concluded that life is a mistake.
Oh, well.
It's like, well, maybe. It definitely feels that way sometimes. But I'm going to assume that it isn't for now. And I'm also going to assume that the kindness in the design knows that it's not a mistake. And so therefore, if I go to that intelligence that's available to all of us, it will create a harmony for me in my relationship with myself between soul and ego, in my relationship between self and others. And then that balance, that homeostasis, if it's restored in me, hopefully then there's no need for me to experience an imbalance, an unhealthy imbalance in my life and my work. It would be unnecessary. And I can just experience a more of a harmony in my life and work because of that inner balance. So right back to the top of the conversation, whatever that thing balance is, I don't think it's something that you set once and, you know, you don't just clean the kitchen once and say, ta-da, we'll never have to clean that kitchen again. It's the same thing. It's the balance will reset itself. So long as we keep paying attention to ourselves and allow that greater intelligence to inform us as to how to be or what to do or what not to do next.
Well, it's that beautiful Morihei Ueshiba, the founder of Aikido, story where he was being complimented on how centered he always was, how he was able to live from center. And he said, actually, I'm out of balance most of the time. But I know what the center feels like. And my life is the process of continually returning to center.
Yeah, great.
I hope you enjoyed this week's conversation as much as I did. Robert and I actually went on and talked for probably another 45 minutes, but we had to cut it somewhere. So if you want to hear more of Robert and more from Robert, check him out online at robertholden.org. Of course, you can always find out more about me at michaelneal.org. Until next week, have fun, learn heaps, and I'll talk to you soon. Bye-bye for now.